Hey, good morning, everyone. If you could please turn with me to James chapter 1. James 1. And verses 1 to 4. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you're encountering various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, for just really the reminders in your word, God, that you are really with us, God, and all that we go through and all that we endure. And so, Lord, this morning, God, help us, Lord, to open our hearts to you in this way, Father, to recognize, God, that our circumstances, God, do not define our faith, but, God, our circumstances are often necessary, God, so that we can grow in our faith. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord. And so, God, use me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So after my message on Sunday, I've really been wrestling with this idea of faith and works. And, you know, I know because P. Sam really talks about this idea is we are human beings. We're not human doings. you know, and then I've once had a conversation with a friend of mine who was convinced, you know, and he continued telling me, you know, the idea that God isn't so concerned with what we do, but simply who we are. And I talk with other friends of mine, people in my house church, especially talking about this idea of, oh, you know, it's not just about, you know, what we do or how, you know, and specifically with this person sometimes, you know, it's, you know, how early we are, or when we show up, or how we do things, or, you know, and so it, this has really been something that's been going through my mind. And so I just thought I'd go back into James, even though I kind of talked about it a little bit. And so anyway, let me go through it, and let me see as to what it is that I felt like Holy Spirit was speaking to me about. And so now just some quick context into James. We recognize here James is speaking to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. The whole book of James is really dedicated to the persecuted Christians. And the reason is because, if you remember the timeline of when James was written, this was when Stephen was martyred. And so if you remember in the book of Acts, chapter 8, remember he was killed for his faith. And who was he killed by at the time? It was by Saul. It was by Paul. And so this was during a very, very tumultuous time, very, very difficult time for Christians. And a lot of it is because many of them were Messianic Jews. And so these people were strong Jews, people who believed in the Jewish religion. And many who practiced it, who believed in it, who became Christian through the Pentecost and through the signs and wonders and the works of the apostles. And after that, what happened was that because they had turned their back on Jewish religion and culture, many of the Jews actually started turning their backs on their brothers. And so this is where the Judaizers, those who strongly believe that really, the Christ was not Elijah, was not the Messiah, they started persecuting Christians to no end. Let me give you some idea as to what was happening. Now, you would think that, you know, brother on brother, right, there wouldn't be so much crime per se, right, or so much of these things. I mean, if you think about it this way, I hate to make this distinction. Maybe I shouldn't make this distinction. You know, maybe I shouldn't say it. Should I just say it? I should say it. I think it's like Christians, or I think it's like Catholics persecuting Christians. Like, it's basically like that, if you think about it that way. See, Judaizers that persecuted Christians, it's basically like Catholics that persecute Christians, right? We can make that context. And to this extent, what it looked like was many of the Jews would start persecuting to the point where actually, you know, some would be killed, and not just killed, many of them would lose work. Remember, the Jews at the time, in many ways, are quite prosperous still. There was a lot of businesses that they would hold, and many of them were pushed out of businesses, and to the point where they actually had to leave town. That's why they were saying they were dispersed abroad. And so this was a very, very difficult time. Now, you can imagine that during this time, if there was a pastor around, what you would hope for the pastor to say to you. You know, imagine you being the Christian, now being, you know, you lost your brother, you lost your mother, you lost your business, you are downright trodden, there's nothing left. You would hope somebody would say to you, it's okay, you know, I know what's going on, right? I know, you know, just try your best, right? But that's not what James says at all. Right? If you read the entire book of James, his whole book is dedicated to saying one thing. I know you're suffering, but suck it up and live the life of Christ. Right? Right? We would expect that when we're going through a time like this, that we would expect somebody to come and to say, oh, I know it hurts. Poor you, you know, please, you know, I'm with you. Right? But James is saying, no. Stop whining and move on and to live in this way. Now, let me explain what's going on and why this is. The Message, actually, version, Eugene Peterson, he does a really great job and reads like this, okay, verses 2 to 4. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get away from anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You see, it is in this that I feel like the whole idea of works versus what's on the inside kind of comes to true colors. And I really want to concentrate on this, right? Your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. See, it's true. I do believe that God is much more concerned with who we are than what we do. But I also really believe that James is right when he says we really cannot dissect the two. We really cannot remove one from the other. We can't say that God is only concerned with who we are and not concerned with what we do, because one truly precedes the other. Without who we are, the works do not come. And so how can we say that God really is not concerned about what we do? And see, the way I look at it, the way I would say it is because of this. See, the world is full of good intentions. Right? Would you agree with me in this? The world is full of people with good intentions, but yet for some reason, those intentions never come to pass. Right? Most of the time, it's people who say a good word, but end up stabbing you in the back. The world is full of good intention. The world is full of people who are good in the inside, right? Good on the inside, but it never comes out. And so I believe God is not just concerned with what is on the inside, but he's concerned that the inside comes out. And I think the word that I'm looking for here is the word hypocrisy. See, when we're only concerned with what's on the inside and not what comes out, what ends up typically happening is we end up living lives that are like duality, right? This idea that I have good intentions, but yet I don't live it out. This idea that I'm only Christian on the inside, but I'm never Christian on the outside. And so that is why James is so, his entire book, right? He is always outlining things. Don't do this, right? Don't just act like this way or don't think this way. Really act like the fullness of freedom, right? Which is live the life of Christ. You know, and this idea, now, I know the verse we were talking about is this idea of suffering. You know, Rick Warren, I think, really puts it in a very beautiful way, right? And he says this, contrary to popular book titles, there are no easy steps to maturity or secrets of instant sainthood. When God wants to make a giant oak, he takes 100 years. But when he wants to make a mushroom, he does it overnight. Great souls are grown through struggles and storms and seasons of suffering. Be patient with the process. James advised, do not try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature, well-developed. See, God desires for us to mature so that we can receive in the fullness of his promises. See, I think Rick Warren has this amazing idea. The inside is good, but it's the outside that brings us to maturity. Right? Everything that we act out of, everything that happens to us, everything that we experience, all of these things are God's works to bring us into the fullness of maturity. Right? As Christians, it's not enough. I mean, I want to be very careful with my words, okay? Salvation is enough. But when it comes to the missional life of Christianity, salvation is no longer enough. The idea that I'm saved and now I can live whatever life I want. Okay, I think this is the message that James is speaking to. It's not enough to say, I'm saved, and so it's now okay for me to do whatever I want. Okay? And so, I really believe, why is James speaking about this idea of suffering, right? I think it is because it shows us who we are. It really shows us who we are. What is God trying to do when he puts persecution and trials into our lives? Right? I really believe in Deuteronomy chapter 8. All right, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Does God need to teach us or test us to know what's in our hearts? No, he doesn't. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent. But he tests us so that we know what's in our heart. See, I believe, yes, we are human beings, but just as important as our being is that our being reflected in our doings. Otherwise, we are just like the world. We are people with good intent. We're people of good intention. And we never live out the life of Christ. And so, let me ask Ernie to come out. I'm going to keep it short today. Brothers and sisters, I completely sympathize with you in this way. Right? If you are going through a tough time, I do not want to belittle it at all. I do not want to make light of any situation. I do not want to make it seem like it's easy. Right? That's definitely not my heart. But I do believe that Christ is in whatever you're going through. Right? Whether he is the hand that's guiding you and comforting you, or perhaps the spirit that's encouraging you, keep going. Keep running. Continue to live the life of Christ. See, both is of God. He is both our comforter and the one who urges us to continue to run and live the life that we are called to live. And so this morning, if you're going through a difficult time, let me encourage you. Two things. One, yeah, go before God. Speak of your suffering. Cry out for relief and encouragement. But at the same time, pray that God strengthens your heart. Pray that he helps you in this way so that it's not just so that we are focused on our circumstance, not just so we are focused on what's happening to us, but that we persevere so that we move forward in our faith and we mature in all that God's called us to. So let's pray.
1,000 times I failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. A 1,000 times I failed, still mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Oh. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine and all as fade. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your glory goes beyond all fate, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out. Oh, worship you, Lord. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. consume me from the inside out, O Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your glad will shine when all has fade. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out. Oh, everlasting, your light will shine when all has faith. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out.
Let's continue to pray, huh? Let's continue to ask God to help us that whatever it is that we do will match the being that's inside of us, which is the heart of Christ. Let's pray. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those in our community suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for God's word over them. Let's pray that God relieves them of the suffering, that prays for healing over them. Let's pray for God to provide all their need during this time. Pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also salvation. Let's pray that Holy Spirit will do only what He can do, and He'll turn His hearts toward Him. Let's pray. Pray for those suffering from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray that God just brings healing and comfort during this time. Let's pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray for God's providence over them. Let's pray for His anointing and favor over them as well. Let's pray as they're waiting for whatever it is that God's called them to, that they'll use their time wisely, and that they'll be ready for God's missions field when they're called to whatever it is. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray that God just continues to fall onto that country and that many people will come to know Him. Let's pray for Pastor Hunsu and Chloe and Enoch and SB Beijing. Let's really pray for covering over them, especially over this time where there's starting to be a lot of crackdowns towards churches and other entities such as Christian entities that are in China. And so let's pray for covering over them. Pray for all the members and whatnot. Let's pray for the Chong family, especially because they're one of the families right now that might be fallout from THAAD. And so let's really pray that all the workers that are there will be protected and that they'll be able to remain in China. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents who are under probably the same issue, Edie Clark and all the other churches. Let's really pray just God's covering in this way. Let's pray for the board as well. Let's pray for P-Sam and Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Mon. Let's pray for protection over them and their families and covering. Let's pray for God's favor over them as well. If you can, lift up a P-Sam. Right now he's traveling with Lisa. And so let's pray that they're going to have a great time of rest and refreshing so that when they come back, they'll be ready to continue to lead us. And so let's lift up. Pray for the fellowship ministries. Let's pray for men's ministry, women's ministry, and young adults, and all the discipleship ministries that we have here at SP. Let's really pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide our leaders, and that He'll continue to work through all these ministries to bring and to grow amazing men and women of God. Let's lift up Alpha as well, that recently started. Let's pray for God's covering over them. We know how the enemy hates it when we do evangelism in this way. But let's really pray for those that are there as guests. The enemy always likes to kill things in its infancy. And so let's really pray that God protects our guests from the enemy, that they will see God and that they will come to know Him. Let's pray. Let's lift up our house churches tonight. Let's pray that Holy Spirit will just enter into their homes, wherever it is that they meet, that they're going to have such an amazing time of fellowship with Holy Spirit and with each other. Lastly, let's pray for our retreat coming up. If you can, let's just warfare over this item for a couple minutes. There's been so much backlash over families, people getting sick. Let's really pray that God really covers our retreat, covers our congregation. Let's pray that eyes will be blinded who don't need to know that we're there for whatever reason. And let's really pray that we're going to meet with God and that we're going to be transformed. And so knowing how much backlash we've been having, I believe this is going to be an amazing retreat. And so let's lift it up right now. Yeah, and so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, God, and we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that is concerned, Lord, with what's going on in our lives, Lord, but most importantly, you're concerned with who we are. As a God, Lord, we just want to give ourselves to you in this way and to say we trust you, God. Father, we know that whatever it is that you do in our lives, God, whatever it is you allow to happen, God, ultimately, you want us to move into the maturity of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so in this way, God, whatever you desire to do in us, do it, Lord. So we thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for my friends that are here. I pray, God, for their workplaces, God. I pray for their families, for their relationships. Whatever it is, God, that they put their hands to, I pray for blessing and anointing. Lord, prosper them, God, in all that they do. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time of prayer, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.